Podcasts from the Cochrane Library, the latest evidence for healthcare decision-making.
Hello, I'm David Tovey, Editor-in-Chief of the Cochrane Library. In March 2013, the Cochrane HIV/AIDS Group updated its portfolio of reviews by adding new evidence to an assessment of the potential role for nutritional interventions. In this evidence pod, Liesl Grobler from the Centre for Evidence-Based Healthcare at Stellenbosch University in South Africa sets the scene and tells us what they found.
From the beginning, HIV/AIDS was synonymous with wasting and weight loss. Locally in South Africa, it was known as Slim's disease. So intuitively, you might think that giving extra food and supplements to HIV-positive people is bound to be beneficial. Unfortunately, it's not that simple, and our Cochrane review shows that there is surprisingly little experimental evidence for important clinical outcomes. Despite an exhaustive search, only 14 relatively small randomized trials met our inclusion criteria, and only 3 of these reported on mortality, 2 trials in adults and 1 in children. Furthermore, all the trials, except for 2, evaluated a different macronutrient supplement. Of the 2 trials that tested spirulina, 1 trial recruited adults and the other recruited children. There was also wide variation in the types of people who took part in the trials in terms of the stage of HIV, HIV treatment status, and general nutrient status. And then finally, none of the trials were graded as providing strong evidence, primarily because of their small sample sizes and the high risk of bias due to a lack of blinding and the large number of people who withdrew from the trials early. When the review was first published in 2007, it included 8 small randomized trials with a total of fewer than 500 HIV-positive adults. All the trials were from high-income countries such as the United States, Switzerland, and Germany, and almost all the participants were on some form of antiretroviral therapy. Every study had excluded patients with confirmed secondary infections or other signs and symptoms of infection, such as fever, chills, or persistent diarrhea, which is the very stage of the disease when people are most likely to need effective macronutrient supplementation. The updated review identified 6 new studies, and the 14 trials now include data for more than 1,700 adults and nearly 300 children. 4 of the new trials were conducted in Africa, and 1 each from Brazil and India. 2 of the new trials recruited participants with opportunistic infections, namely tuberculosis and persistent diarrhea. Therefore, this new evidence base is getting closer to the people most in need of the information from this research. But there still appears to be a gunshot approach to the research, with so little consistency across the studies. So what did we find? Based on the 3 trials that reported on death as an outcome, supplementary food, daily supplement of spirulina, or a nutritional supplement enhanced with protein did not significantly alter the risk of death in HIV-positive individuals. Then in HIV-positive adults with weight loss, nutritionally balanced macronutrient supplements aimed at improving energy intake by 600 to 900 kilocalories per day increased intakes of energy and protein compared with no supplements or nutritional counseling alone, but did not affect any other anthropometric or immunological parameters. So while it is disappointing and somewhat puzzling that the increased energy and protein intake did not lead to an increase in body mass, fat mass, or fat-free mass, this is an important finding because loss of appetite and decreased food intake is common in people with HIV. Looking across the trials more generally, we can conclude that supplementation with specific macronutrients such as amino acids, whey protein concentrate, or spirulina did not significantly alter clinical, anthropometric, or immunological outcomes in HIV-infected adults and children. So further research needs to be driven by the needs and resources of the HIV-positive individual, the clinician treating them, and the people caring for them. We need answers to questions such as, is it more effective to spend already limited resources procuring antiretroviral treatment for HIV-positive people rather than trying to feed them? Are macronutrient supplements only effective in malnourished HIV-positive people, or HIV-positive people with uncontrolled weight loss, or HIV-positive people with opportunistic infections, or HIV-positive lactating mothers. In high-income countries, where food is readily accessible to HIV-positive individuals, might nutritional counseling alone be sufficient to halt uncontrolled weight loss and maintain a healthy body weight? And finally, did the effectiveness of the antiretroviral therapy mask differences between the fed and unfed groups in both the early trials and the more recent ones?
For full details on all these trials, and to watch a future update to the review if new trials answer these questions, go to thecochranelibrary.com.